It is no use our being at all before our time, said our client. He only comes there to see me, apparently, for the place is deserted up to the very hour he names.
That is suggestive, remarked Holmes.
By Jove, I told you so, cried the clerk. That's he, walking ahead of us there.
He pointed to a smallish, dark, well-dressed man who was bustling along the other side of the road. As we watched him, he looked across at a boy who was bawling out the latest editions of the evening paper, and, running over among the cabs and buses, he bought one from him. Then, clutching it in his hand, he vanished through a doorway.
There he goes, cried Hall Pycroft. These are the company's offices into which he has gone. Come with me, and I'll fix it up as easily as possible.
Following his lead, we ascended 5 stories until we found ourselves outside a half-opened door at which our client tapped. A voice within bade us enter, and we entered a bare, unfurnished room such as Hall Pycroft had described. At the single table sat the man whom we had seen in the street, with his evening paper spread out in front of him, and as he looked up at us, it seemed to me that I had never looked upon a face which bore such marks of grief, and of something beyond grief, of a horror such as comes to few men in a lifetime. His brow glistened with perspiration, his cheeks were of the dull, dead white of a fish's belly, and his eyes were wild and staring. He looked at his clerk as though he failed to recognize him, and I could see by the astonishment depicted upon our conductor's face that this was by no means the usual appearance of his employer.
"You look ill, Mr. Pinner," he exclaimed.